Hi everyone, welcome to, I guess, a live edition of the Scarcity Complex podcast. I'm on location in the city that never sleeps, San Francisco. actually, San Francisco is, I think it's the city by the bay. But I came up here for Easter weekend, and I was here last year for Easter weekend. I love the city. It's an amazing city. It's got so much culture, and one of the places that I was introduced to years ago, probably about 3 or 4 years ago, was where I'm at tonight. I'm recording this on Friday evening, which is Good Friday, around 8:30 Pacific Standard Time. And I'm sitting here outside looking at Grace Cathedral. It's this beautiful cathedral that's kind of in the heart of San Francisco. And it was actually modeled after Chartres Cathedral, which is a famous cathedral in France. And Grace is this very integrated church. They have yoga in the labyrinth. They have two labyrinths. They have one inside the church and one outside the church. And so the church is closed right now. But right now I have the outdoor labyrinth all to myself. And I wanted to do just a little bit of a Friday weekend edition of the Scarcity Complex podcast on the idea of surrender and the idea of life as a labyrinth. And so I'm speaking into this microphone, which it's hopefully picking me up pretty well. I bought this new microphone that plugs directly into my phone. And it has a reverb session setting that I hope it's not on reverb. Otherwise, I'm going to sound like I'm coming to you live from the center of the labyrinth. but San Francisco is such an interesting town. Last year when I was here, I decided I would walk to the cathedral. And you look on your little map and you're like, oh, that's not far. And then what you forget is that each little block is like a level 10 at the Stairmaster at the gym. So even though it might be freezing outside, you're like sweating by the time you get to your destination. So this year I decided to drive, and I just parked in the nice little parking garage downstairs. And but it's fascinating. It's so different than other cities. You know, you're literally driving on like train tracks, and I'm like, am I supposed to be, wait, Waze is saying that I'm allowed to drive here. So even getting here is a little bit of an exercise in surrender. But I love labyrinths because labyrinths for me are such a great metaphor of pilgrimage and the journey again of our souls. And labyrinths are different from mazes. Some of you guys might know, like a maze, there's sharp edges, there's dead ends. A labyrinth, what it is there's one way in and there's one way out. And it curves, and it's actually divided into four different quadrants, but it makes one full motion. And then you get to the center, and in the center, I believe there's six petals there. And when you get to the center, I'll kind of explain what this process is and why I'm kind of wanting to reflect on it. But labyrinths, I've been fascinated by labyrinths for probably the last 10 or 15 years. I've walked labyrinths in, I think, Australia, and I've walked this labyrinth. Actually, this will be my fourth time walking it. I've walked it 3 times by myself. And then the first time I was here, I came here with 3 very dear people on a totally random but cool synchronistic pilgrimage that I could devote hours to just on that alone. But that was my introduction to the cathedral. And there's a really great book that is written by a woman, and her name, it's called The Path of the Holy Fool. And it's a book by, I want to get her name right here. It's a book by, her name is Lauren Artress. I hope I said her name right. And she basically does labyrinth work for a living. And someone had referenced this book, and it's a really, really cool book. She actually used to be on staff, coincidentally, here at Grace Cathedral. And she's written and does labyrinth journeys and retreats for people where You basically, when you step into the labyrinth is sort of a symbol for life, right? Of if we could treat every day as a labyrinth if we wanted to, if we were mindful enough, right? But most of us, we're so busy, we're always going 100 miles an hour, there's so many distractions, or we have our normal work or responsibilities, it's kind of hard to take that time. But I think we can kind of do our own version of that no matter where we are. You could take a walk in the neighborhood you live. You could get lost into a certain part of town that you maybe normally don't explore. And so I just find it fascinating how you don't even have to, quote, do a physical labyrinth. But one of the really cool things that I learned my first time when I came here to Grace, about 3 or 4 years ago, there was a candlelight labyrinth walk indoors, and they had a guide. And I remember the guide who was so kind, and she had a guide dog that was a golden retriever, which was really cool. And we just had a great chat. And there's basically three R's to walking a labyrinth. There's before you enter the labyrinth, you usually take a deep breath and you release something. And so there's something that you're releasing. And I think the idea of a labyrinth is tied to this idea of death, right? Of things in our lives that we're willing to, quote, let go of. Sometimes it's literally, we've lost someone physically in our life. Maybe that's what we're grieving, or we're letting go of, I don't know, just anything in our lives that we feel like we're just surrendering. And it's a really fun and great practice to do. And so you just spend a few moments when you're outside of the labyrinth, just in that thinking about what am I releasing as I'm stepping into this labyrinth? And you set that intention or prayer, and you then step in when you feel like you're ready to step in. And normally, if like it wasn't 8:30 on a Friday night, you might be in the labyrinth with other people or other pilgrims. And there's no race to get to the middle. Again, there's no like, I'm gonna get there first. But at different points in the labyrinth, you're all on the same path, but you might pass somebody that's on a different section. And so one of the beautiful things about walking a labyrinth is that you're never really alone. And I love that analogy of that's true for us here in this life, right? That even though a lot of times when we feel alone, we're not. There's other people, sometimes people we've seen, people we don't know that are walking alongside us on the same journey. That's, I think, part of the mystery of life and also the mystery of the labyrinth. But the illusion that we'll live under a lot of times is what? That we are alone, that we are the only one that's whatever, struggling and feeling like we're in darkness right now, or we're anxious, or all those kinds of things. And so, so that's the first thing you do. And it's sort of a death in a way. It's something that you again are releasing. And, I think so much of what life is about is us learning to let go of things, right, that don't serve us. In my own life, so much of my own journey and my own work has been in growing in that. And I think that's what we're all here to do. And we can either resist it or we can allow it, right? And sometimes those deaths, they're like physical things, or they could be, again, people that we've had to grieve, or it could be things tied to, and this is what I think a lot of what the teachings, as I've kind of come full circle more to the mystical element of Christ, was that this death of the ego. We need an ego, right, for a sense of who we are, but I'm talking about the ego that is our small self, right? That is where a lot of our defense mechanisms are stored, where we care, whatever, about what people think of us, or we put a lot of value into whatever it is, any external things that we grab onto for a form of identity. And those things, in and of themselves, aren't bad. But when those things aren't there, or when someone projects onto us, right, and thinks you're this person when that's not who you are, there's just only so much that you can do, right? And you kind of have to surrender in coming and being in that center of knowing who we are. And that's ultimately, I think, what all the spiritual teachers taught, but since I'm here at Grace Cathedral, I believe that's what Christ was teaching when he talked about dying to ourselves. And so those deaths aren't always fun, but they're oftentimes the path to a deeper freedom. And what I did last year when I was here, and I'm going to do it again this weekend, I forget the name of it, but they have a service on Saturday evening where the entire cathedral is dark. They turn out all the lights and they open the doors to the cathedral, and it's pitch dark, and it's just like as quiet as San Francisco can be. You hear trolley cars in the background. And what it's reflecting on is, like, you know, in the Christian tradition, you hear a lot of talk about Good Friday, and then of course Easter gets all the celebration, you know, that's the holiday for everybody. But what it's reflecting on is the 72 hours of when Christ was, quote, dead. It's literally this meditation on death, on darkness. And then what happens is this procession comes in and they light this like altar in the center of the labyrinth. And then they go kind of to the front of the church and everybody has a candle, and then people's candles just start getting lit. And last year when I was here, it was so cold, I didn't dress appropriately for it. And so I ended up having to leave early because I was just shaking so badly. So tomorrow I'm going to be wearing like 5 layers because I want to make it through the whole service. But I think it's a neat reflection, you know, again, of thinking about this idea of death, that when we, these times in our lives when we feel like we're giving something up, or we're whatever it might be, or we're in darkness, whatever it might be, that there's a purpose to that darkness. You know, we talked about that on a couple podcasts ago, the story of Job and Jung's interpretation of it, Richard Rohr's. And you know, I was listening to a little bit more of Richard Rohr on the way up on this audiobook called Letting Go, and he was talking about, you know, true spirituality being a spirituality of subtraction, of things that we're kind of allowing to be pruned away in our lives to reveal more of who we are. The story, I mentioned this on last week's podcast, the story, because of the controversy in Florida, the story of David and the Statue of David with Michelangelo. The famous story is that it was just this block of marble, and people were like, how did he do it? And he said, I didn't like envision it. He's like, I just chipped away at everything that wasn't part of who David was. And I think that's such a great metaphor for the journey of our soul, and how these, quote, little deaths, or these things, these branches that get pruned for trees, these are good things, because then when a branch gets pruned, it strengthens the energy of where the energy can go in the rest of the tree, and all of a sudden there's even more fruit. And I just think about that we have this mysterious divine gardener, you know, that if we're willing to listen, and if we're willing to trust, if we're willing to surrender, right, the magic that can come from that. This is my little reflection, I guess, on Easter weekend, and I'm now going to do my own labyrinth walk here. And so the second R, once you get to the center, is receiving. And I think so much of life is about learning to receive. I think it's about not taking, right? Taking is different. Taking is this consumption energy that where we're like, mine, I deserve this, right? That's so much of what I think our world is in recovery on. But receiving is something different, right? It's knowing that all of us are worthy of love. It's allowing that love to flow into deeper parts of who we are. Even when we don't feel, again, like we're worthy of it, not just vertically with God, with the divine, but then also as we learn to do that with other people, where we, I think, sometimes find our soul family in life, these people in our lives that somehow see our imperfections, and instead of judging us for them or projecting even onto us, they're people that that are willing to stick around and can see the light that's in us. And I think that's ultimately what we're all here to do, is to learn, again, not how to take, but how to receive. And that state of receiving, right, of whatever you receive, when you go to the center, when you're still sitting there in stillness in the center, you stay as long as you want. It's something that you get to take with you then, as you then journey out. And that's the last R of remembering. And then this idea that as whatever that wisdom is, whatever it is that was instilled as we, whatever, sit there in that center, that gets to go with us and gets to circulate back out into, quote, the real world, which isn't a labyrinth a lot of times. It can feel crazy and stressful. And so, but I think all of us have these little mini labyrinths in life, whether you journal in the morning, whether you drink coffee or tea, or these rituals that we can do that are kind of our little own version of a labyrinth that we can do each and every day. I know in my own life, some days I'm better at it than others, but tonight I'm incredibly blessed to be able to look at this beautiful, gorgeous cathedral on a cool San Francisco night and step into the labyrinth. So as I step in for anyone listening tonight that that it's our faith, it's our belief, it's our letting go that I honestly believe is where the magic lives. And I know that's easier said than done a lot of times, but like the labyrinth and even what we talked about on last week's podcast, life is ultimately just one small step in front of the other. And we can always trust, we can always know, and we can always ask, right, for guidance or listen to that inner guidance that's there for us when we're able to be still and just get away from the noise and have a few moments of that stillness. And I believe that stillness is where God lives, where the divine lives, and where, yeah, where we can truly listen. So whatever that center is for you tonight, this weekend for Easter, sending everyone out in my audience lots of love, and hope you all have a beautiful Easter weekend or beautiful day, whenever you're listening to this podcast. Thanks for listening, and I'm gonna sign out here from San Francisco, California. Good night, everybody.
It's the scarcity complex.